Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The best in the business, John Rothstein, CBS Sports, college basketball insider and guru, the host of College Hoops Today. It's a podcast you get wherever you download your podcasts, and you can follow John on Twitter or whatever you want to call it. You can call it X. It's fine. Either way, it's at John Rothstein. John, I know it's busy, man. Good morning. Thanks for making time.
Always for you, Bill. Great to be with you, buddy.
So, all right, I was trying to put into context how dominant this UConn team has been this year and last year and just what they've accomplished in the last 25 years. You're going to be much more equipped for this than I am. How do you properly frame UConn's run under Dan Hurley and just its emergence as a power in the last couple decades or so?
Well, let's look at it this way. You know, Jim Calhoun has done, I think, arguably the greatest building job in college basketball history in terms of taking a program where there was no history and making it into a power. The guy went to four Final Fours, won three national titles, won 17 Big East regular season and tournament titles. But only this year, for the first time, did UConn go back-to-back and win national championships. Only this year, for the first time, did UConn go to the Final Four in back-to-back seasons. And let's break down, Bill, these runs, okay, that UConn had under Calhoun. In 99, there was a close game in the regional final against Gonzaga, and they only won by three in the national championship game against, you know, one of the great Duke teams that we've seen, and that was Calhoun's first national title. In 2004, and Coach Calhoun told me this last Sunday when I spoke to him, it was the most talented team at UConn because you had Ben Gordon and also Emeka Okafor on that team, the second and third picks in the draft. But that team, if you remember, had to come from behind and beat Duke in the Final Four to get to the national championship game. In 2011, with Kemba Walker, UConn won several close games to win a national championship. And then when Kevin Ollie won a national title in 2014, UConn was a seven seed, and Shabazz Napier willed them game after game to the national championship. But if you remember, in that run in 2014, this is an interesting story that a lot of people forget. Amita Brima, UConn starting center, was a free throw shooter that shot less than 50% from the free throw line. In the first round against St. Joe's, UConn's down three. He gets an and one with about 40 seconds left, makes the free throw. The rest is history. But so many games in that run were really, really close. Last year, Dan Hurley wins six games by an average of 20 points per game. This year's team wins six games by an average of 23.3 points per game. So what Dan Hurley is doing right now is a level of dominance that UConn has not known in its rich and storied basketball history. In the last 25 NCAA tournaments, UConn has won six national championships. Bill, where I come from, that's better than 20%.
It is John Rothstein on the show. It's an amazing – you're right. Calhoun, what Calhoun built and Hurley is continuing, it is remarkable. I know it's harder to gauge sometimes in the NIL and transfer portal reality, but how well poised is UConn to continue to dominate and to try to go for a three-peat or to try to win a couple more even the next 10 years and keep adding to what is a pretty remarkable legacy right now?
Well, they got the premier coach at 51 years of age who has won two national championships. Obviously, UConn has some recruiting work to do here. in the transfer portal. I just released, you know, on social media at 10 a.m. Eastern, my first Rothstein 45 for the 24-25 season. And obviously, I'm going to be updating this daily with player movement and so on and so forth. I've got UConn in the 12th spot right now, and that's losing Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, Donovan Klingon, and Steph Castle. I would expect UConn's going to be in play for 2 to 3 high-level transfers. And if that comes to fruition, I expect UConn to be in position to, again, be a force and be the team to beat in the Big East, you know, under Dan Hurley. And that's the thing right now, Bill, is, you know, for so many years when I started doing this, and I'm doing it now, you know, almost 2 decades, the 2 elite programs were Duke and UConn. Those were the linchpins of college basketball, and things have changed a little bit, but we have right now a dynasty in the making once again in Storrs, Connecticut, which is clearly, clearly the basketball capital of the world. And it's one thing, like I said, to win a national championship. It's one thing to go back to back. But if you look at the last two teams that went back to back, look at their chemical makeup. When Hurley, Leitner, and Grant Hill were a part of back to back national championships at Duke in the early 90s, those guys had the nucleus together for 2 years. Florida, if you think about it, in 06 and 07, had 5 starters returning from the team the first year in 06. That won the whole thing with a 73-57 win over UCLA in the 2006 title game. And that team obviously came back to beat Ohio State and Greg Oden in 2007. This UConn team lost Jordan Hawkins. This UConn team lost Adama Sanogo. This UConn team lost Andre Jackson. Only 2 starters came back, but the Huskies were more dominant. Bill, it's not anarchy. It's just college basketball.
John Rothstein on the show, breaking it down. John, you said just a little bit ago, eye-popping in a different context. It was eye-popping to me, Purdue just 1 of 7 from 3 last night. Was that, did that have more to do with something UConn did or something Purdue did not do?
Look, as soon as the matchup was set Saturday night, I said to myself, the 5 men could cancel each other out in this game, but UConn is bigger, stronger, more athletic 1 through 4. And that's really the story of the game. Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer had great years for Purdue. They're obviously going to have a great, you know, 2 years ahead for the Boilers in the Big Ten. But Newton, Spencer, Castle, too much defensively. They took away the 3-point line. I thought it was a genius game plan from Dan Hurley last night in Phoenix.
So, John, obviously bringing in Hurley, in retrospect, a masterstroke. These decisions are really significant. And we've got Cal leaving Kentucky reportedly for Arkansas. Let's start there. What, with some time to process it and talk to folks, what do you make of Calipari leaving for Northwest Arkansas?
Well, I just want to add some context here, Bill, as we talk this out, because obviously I just got off a plane and I made a couple of calls. This is the deal. Arkansas is expecting to hold a press conference tomorrow for John Calipari to announce him as head coach, but Arkansas has still not gotten the affirmation of a signed agreement, and Kentucky has not been informed that John Calipari is resigning. Now, everything I've gathered, it's still obviously trending in that direction. But again, I know that we're not there quite yet in terms of a press release coming, so I just want to add that right now as just, you know, a wrinkle here as of Tuesday morning. I haven't heard anything yet that he's going to stay at Kentucky or anything of that nature, but I'm just saying as we're tracking this in real time, that is something that came across my desk as I just landed here off the red eye. Now, was I surprised? Look, anytime you are in a scenario where you are at a place as long as John Calipari is, in terms of the fishbowl that it is in Lexington at Kentucky, if you do not constantly perform at the highest of levels, there is going to be an appetite for change. And look, I went through this on several different platforms, and you're my guy, so I want to go through it with you. Kentucky in 2015 was 38-0. Kentucky had a chance to go down as one of the best teams in the history of the sport, and it lost that game to Wisconsin in the Final Four. Think back then to 2016, Kentucky with Jamal Murray loses to Tom Crean in Indiana in the round of 32. No problem, that's a heck of a basketball team. 2017, you've got De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Bam Adebayo. You go to the regional finals and you play a great game against Luke May in North Carolina, and the Tar Heels win with a second left shot by Luke May. Then all of a sudden, you think about the next year. What happens? Kentucky plays Kansas State in the Sweet 16. Dean Wade did not play in that game for the Wildcats, but Kansas State was able to win a narrow game against the Kentucky nucleus that featured Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, P.J. Washington, Nick Richards, Quade Green, Hamidou Diallo, Wenyen Gabriel, and of course, we can't forget him, another player that we have to remember in sorry, I only speak for a living. Another player that we have to remember up front in Kevin Knox. So that happened in 2018. Then in 2019, you know, Kentucky had a team where it took Reed Travis from Stanford as a transfer, and it was a favorite to go to the Final Four. Auburn that year, we have to remember, beat North Carolina, the one seed, and Auburn lost Chuma Okeke to a torn ACL in the Sweet 16 that year, but managed to come back and beat Kentucky in overtime in 2019. Then in 2020, when Kentucky had, I thought, the best backcourt in the sport with Emmanuel Quickley, with Ashton Hagens, with Tyrese Maxey, Kentucky was 25-6 playing great basketball going into the NCAA tournament, and the COVID pandemic knocked out the NCAA tournament. So 2017, you lose in the Elite Eight. 2018, you have a loss to Kansas State that you probably would like to have back. And if you win that game, you're playing Loyola Chicago to go to the Final Four. 2019, you lose to Auburn in overtime. And 2020, you're 25-6. And Bill, there's no NCAA tournament. So that's four opportunities to get back to a Final Four, and you don't cash in. Now we fast forward. The COVID year, Kentucky won single-digit games. Was a disaster. 2022, you bounce back with Oscar Tshiebwe, but you lose to St. Peter's. 2023, good year, not a great team, lose to Kansas State in a round of 32. And this past year, you lose to Oakland. So I think the loss to Wisconsin triggered really a downward trajectory for Kentucky. But I want to point out, from 2017 to 2020, John Calipari had Kentucky right in position to go to the Final Four every year, and they just got a couple of bad bounces.
Yeah, I mean, that is it. And I was at that Kentucky Indiana game and at that Kentucky, the first one, K State game. And it's interesting because at every one of those stops, it still then felt like a dominant Kentucky program despite the outcome. Let's say that he leaves. And I guess if you're Arkansas, John, the memories and the ghosts of Dana Altman, I mean, it won't feel over until it's over, and maybe he even stays 24 hours after he does his press conference. But let's say that Cal goes to Arkansas. Is Scott Drew the guy who I like and know that gets them back to the promised land? Or is there another coach? Who's the right hire, or who are the right names if you can get someone that's realistic and you're Kentucky and you want to get to a spot where you're winning those games, getting to those Final Fours and being, at least from their vantage point, where you feel like you belong, which is the top of the sport?
Well, Bill, I've been covering searches for a long time, and you know, things usually work out really swiftly and really well, or they drag out and they get off the rails. So far, and again, we have not seen Arkansas officially announce John Calipari as its head coach yet, but so far, this is what we have seen. Nate Oates has put out a public statement that he is obviously staying in Alabama. Jay Wright has said on national television that he's more than happy staying with us at CBS, and he should, because he's, you know, an outstanding ex-coach and an outstanding analyst and a great guy. We have also seen Dan Hurley come out and say that, you know, he is obviously going to remain at UConn, and that's to be expected. He's a Northeast guy. I've made a lot of calls on Billy Donovan's situation, some in the last hour. Billy is completely locked in on getting the Bulls in the playoffs. They play the Knicks tonight. And Billy also, because of his beliefs and his values as a person, does not feel comfortable with the timeline in terms of leaving a team after taking it through a season. Those are all four of the top candidates. So now we start going down the list. Baylor Scott Drew is somebody that's going to be at the top of the list, but we have to remember Scott Drew has paid a nice, nice penny to be in Waco. Scott Drew built that program from scratch. I covered him in the NCAA tournament in the first and second rounds in Memphis. His family loves Waco. They're comfortable in Waco. He has a special relationship, though, with Kentucky AD Mitch Barnhart. He is going to be on the list. But if Scott Drew doesn't come to the forefront, where do you turn? I think a stealth candidate in this process, somebody that people may look as a safety candidate, could be BYU's Mark Pope, who, if you remember, Bill, was somebody who was a reserve on the 96 team under Rick Pitino that won the national championship. Mark Pope is somebody that Kentucky knows it can call and he will accept the job. You cut him open, he's going to bleed Kentucky blue. But that is, I think, where this thing is going to look if Scott Drew does not obviously opt to remain in Waco, if the Kentucky job officially comes open. But as I'm telling you right now, John Calipari has not tendered his resignation as of right now.
More drama to come. John, you are a good man on a busy morning for making time. I can't imagine how little sleep you got last night. Thank you for making us smarter. Thank you for making us better. Incredible work throughout the tournament for CBS. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show, my friend.
Thanks, Bill. Love the show. We sleep in May.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.